So the plan of my seminar concerns some aspects of this correspondence between anti-de Sitter theories on anti-de Sitter space and superconformality theories on the boundary. I will talk mainly about the case of ADS5 crosses 5, but some of the consideration I will do apply to more general cases. I will skip an introduction because this has been repeated many times, but I will talk about essentially the role of supersymmetry in classifying bulk gauge field and their correspondence with the operator in conformal field theory. In particular, the role of N equal 4 supersymmetry in classifying Kaluza-Klein multiplets as N equal 4 primary chiral fields, short multiplets, and I will talk about operator product expansions in connection to analysis similar to the one discussed by Friedman, defining conformal field theories in an abstract way through operator product expansions. So let me remind you that the supergravity in anti-de Sitter space corresponds to a background which corresponds to a space which has coset structure OD,2/OD,1 and can be represented as an hypersurface in a D plus two dimensional space. If you use the coordinate K x mu eta square as were in fact defined long ago by Mack, for instance, by Mack and Salam in their paper on conformal field theories, then the boundary at infinity in this parametrization is obtained by sending K to infinity. And then one can easily see that the boundary at infinity is just a conformal completion of Minkowski space, where Minkowski space is parametrized by the coordinate x here. And in fact, Minkowski space in this notation is just another coset. It's the quotient of OD,2 divided in homogeneous D-1,1 dilatation, which means that x are projective coordinates on the cone on the D+2 dimensional space. So conformal fields on the boundary are characterized by reducible representation of that group. In the case of ADS5, this group has rank 3, and there are 3 Casimir which classify in a reducible representation, which are given there. And the special importance of this Casimir is the quadratic Casimir, because the quadratic Casimir is related to the Laplace operator, which give the mass spectrum of different particles in ADS and equivalently classify the reducible representation of conformal field on the boundary. In fact, conformal field on the boundary are classified by representation of the stability group of the origin of Minkowski space, which is essentially what is in the denominator here. And the primary fields correspond to representation of the Lorentz group, which are annihilated by the conformal boost at the origin. And these are in correspondence with what are called the highest weight representation. Descendants of this field are derivative of this highest weight field. And in fact, the fact that you have infinitely many of them is telling you that this representation is infinite dimensional. However, the 3 Casimir on this representation take a value which is given by the eigenvalue of dilatation and 2 Casimir of the Lorentz group on the highest weight vector. So the 3 Casimir are essentially function of L, J1, and J2, which are the quantum numbers of the conformal field. So for instance, if you have a tensor field where J1 is J2 equal S over 2, these are tensor field of spin S. The value of the 3 Casimir are given there. And for this tensor field, the second Casimir is 0 because it's parity odd. And these are the values of the other Casimir. For a conformal field on the boundary, it is in a reducible representation if it satisfies the Euler equation. This homogeneity equation is essentially giving you the dimension of the field. And you can see that this condition, in fact, corresponds to fix the Casimir, because the quadratic Casimir in OD, 2 is given by this formula, and if you are on the cone, the first term is zero. So you see that the quadratic Casimir is just given in terms of the Euler operator. And for a scalar field, it reduced to L times L minus D. You can recognize that this is a famous mass formula for scalar field in anti-de-Sitt space. This formula is nothing but the eigenvalue of the quadratic Casimir. So if you have tensor fields that in order to be reducible, must be symmetric and traceless as tensor field of OD, 2, and they satisfy some subsidiary condition in order to be irreducible. Then the representation are characterized by these two bounds. These are the unitary representation. There is a bound between dimension and spin. When J1 or J2 is zero, the bound is given here, and when J1, J2 is different from zero, is given here. Now the interesting point is that the threshold of these bounds are precisely the singleton representation on IDS5, which correspond to massless field on the boundary, and the other threshold is the massless field on the bulk. So these two boundaries precisely correspond to the interesting case of massless field on the boundary and massless field on the bulk. In fact, one can see that these two conditions are the conditions for which these two equations are invariant on the boundary. Namely, the first condition is the condition for which conformal tensor fields can satisfy box equals zero. This equation is conformally invariant only if the dimension of phi is 1 plus j on ds phi. And equivalently, for a tensor field with this dimension, the conservation law is conformally invariant. And you see that this conservation law is telling you that this field has only 2j1 plus 1, 2j2 plus 1 minus 4j1, j2 independent component, and this is precisely the number of components of a spin field of spin j1 plus j2, which means an irreducible representation of O3, which is the little group of a massless vector in a five-dimensional space. So that shows that this field have exactly the degrees of freedom of massless fields in the bulk. Well, in the correspondence of ADS with conformal field theories, you essentially identify operators which are in the same irreducible representation of the anti-de-Sitt group. So you identify a representation for which the three Casimir on the boundary are equal to the three Casimir on the bulk if you identify the energy level on the bulk field with a conformal dimension on the boundary. So with this identification, then you see that what is the spin 2 conserved tensor on the boundary according to my previous formula correspond precisely to the quantum numbers of the graviton, and conserved current correspond to the quantum number of a gauge field, and conserved spinor current correspond to the quantum number of a gravitino field in anti-de-Sitt space. Again, this field in the bulk since they are in a reducible representation, they will satisfy a Laplace equation on the bulk, because the Laplace equation is nothing but the statement that the Casimir takes a fixed eigenvalue, and that is the Laplace equation that you get in the bulk. It is interesting that for gauge field in the bulk, which means that those representations of O4,2, which are of this type, where you have J1 and J2 and you have a particular value of E0, which is given by this formula, one can show that the massless equation for the bulk field needs actually other solution of this kind. And these are the gauge invariances on the bulk. So that shows really that this representation, which are the massless representation, really describe gauge fields in the bulk, which is already evident from the conformal field theory correspondence, because I was mentioning before, the transverse condition on the conformal operator precisely tells you that this operator has the same number of dimensions of component, independent component of a gauge field in the bulk. Well, in this correspondence, was precise way of making it was set up for an interacting theory by Gobster, Klebanov, Polyakov, and Witten. One would like to identify a three-point function in the bulk with the boundary value of, in fact, endpoint functions with the correlation function of conformal operator in the conformal field theory. And here there will be a role played by supersymmetry, because supersymmetry gives you an arrangement of this operator, because in particular in supersymmetry there is a notion of chiral primary fields, which allow to have you fields which have unrenormalized dimension, while in a conformal field theory in general the dimension can be a non-integer or non-fractional number. In particular, we know that in n equal 1 supersymmetry, a chiral field must have a correlation between the U1 charge of the conformal algebra and its dimension, which has a correspondence in the n equal 4, will have a correspondence in the n equal 4 theory. Well, in n equal 4 theory, the situation is a more subtle, because actually the usual singleton fields are not really chiral fields in the superspace sense. Namely, the chiral fields usually are fields which depends only on left-handed thetas, but not on right-handed thetas. Now, you can see that this field is not suitable to describe Yamin's field, because it would give, in fact, not the right structure of the multiplet. In particular, when you have composite chiral field, you would get a spin of the type n over 2, 0 representation. Why? We know that the graviton, for instance, is in a spin 2, which is a 1,1 representation and not 2,0. Then, in fact, in n equal 4, there is another notion of chirality in which essentially you can drop half of the component, which is something I'll call chiral, twisted chiral field. And in this case, the superfield actually depends only on half left-handed and half right-handed thetas. Well, this was shown. This notion was called analytic superfield by Howe and West, and has to do with the harmonic superspace formulation of n equal 4 theories, which was initiated by the Russian group Sokachev, Bogievsky, and other people, and I think that Paul Howe will talk about this. Anyhow, the singleton superfield is, in fact, a superfield which satisfies reality conditions, so it cannot be chiral, and satisfy also a condition on the covariant derivative on the superfield, which is given here. And these, in fact, are exactly the conditions which define a superfield which has half of the left-handed and half of the right-handed thetas in the expansion. So let me remind you, the superfield which correspond to the Kaluza-Klein states, which were exploited by Kim Romans and Van Nieuwenhuizen in the supergravity analysis, and in a group theoretical classification by Gunadin and Marcus, and more recently they were studied by Oguri and Horowitz. These Kaluza-Klein states are given by these symmetric traces of polynomial in this twisted chiral superfield, and this multiplet for a given p-order polynomial is a multiplet which has this number of components. It has always 256 components times this number, and this number is the dimension of a certain SU4 representation which has this following Dinkin label. And this, in fact, allow you to get mass formulae for the several spin of this object, which are given here, and this mass formula reproduce the entire varying P, varying the order of the polynomial, reproduce the entire Kaluza-Klein tower, which was found by Kim Romans and Van Nieuwenhuizen. Well, the explicit form of this field in some cases was worked out by Gubser, Klebanov, Rajaraman, Das, Trivedi, Mathur, other people, and we gave a general formula for this component superfield. This formula shows you that this component superfield are related to partial waves in SU4 in the sphere. And it is interesting that looking at this superfield, you immediately see, for instance, that the only singlet under SU4 which have particular physical relevance appear up to P equal 4 superfield. So if you multiply more than 4 singlets, you never get SU4 singlet. So all these SU4 singlets appear in this object up to p equal 4, how it is obvious from this formula. And generically, this superfield contains different partial wave with a range 4. Generally, you get partial wave with a shift of the wave 4 in a given supermultiplex due to supersymmetry. However, it is interesting the fact that you can classify also multiplets which are not chiral primary, and this multiplet I'm going to discuss is quite interesting because it's believed to be a string state. It's a multiplet which corresponds to the string state. This is a multiplet which starts with a trace of the singleton representation. It's a trace of phi L, phi L. So the traceless part is the current multiplet. The trace is this object. Now, this multiplet can be seen as actually is a multiplet which goes up to spin 4. And the spin 4 are precisely objects of this form. And it contains also spin 2, which are in this representation, and spin 1, which is in this representation. So this multiplet corresponds to objects which are supposed to have anomalous dimension, in the sense that if one computes, according to Gubster, Klebanov, Polyakov, and Witten, their masses and the relation with the dimension, they would have masses in strong coupling, which are given by this expression here. Now, what is interesting in this particular multiplet has been fairly discussed in the literature in context of n equal 1 theories, because this object is actually the n equal 4 generalization of what is called the Konishi current. And the Konishi current is known to be anomalous in any conformal field theory, whether or not the beta function is zero or not. So the Konishi current is anomalous also in n equal 4 theories. And this confirms the fact that, in fact, this object must have anomalous dimension, not only in a strong coupling, but also, in fact, in the weak coupling. And the weak coupling anomalous dimension was, in fact, computed by Friedman, Anselmi, Grisaru, and Johansen. This multiplet, if the theory would be abelian, a free field theory, would actually correspond to massless conserved field. In fact, you would get infinitely many massless conserved field if you would have a free field theory, because all this higher current, in particular this Konishi multiplet, would contain a transverse spin 4, which would correspond in the bulk to a massless spin 4. So in some sense, if you would have a non-interacting theory on the boundary, you would get infinitely many massless fields in the bulk, which would have higher and higher spin, which are obtained combining just two singleton representations, which in fact contains an infinite tower of this massless multiplet. These multiplets are not massless because the interior on the boundary is interacting and the fields are not transverse. Now let me go to this discussion of the Konishi current. The Konishi current appears in the operator product expansion in n equal 1 theories. So this J is the stress tensor multiplet and sigma is this Konishi multiplet. In n equal 4 theory, this would be this multiplet up to spin 4 and this would be the multiplet up to spin 2. Now this number C and a number C prime has two kinds of central charge. This C is the central charge which was discussed by Friedman, which actually is unrenormalized to all order, and in fact is supposed to be also non-perturbative renormalized. And this is given in an n equal 4 theory, it's not renormalized. It would be renormalized in n equal 1 theory. This is given in a free field theory by this formula. And if you have in perturbation theory, C in n equal 4 Yamin's theory, C quantum is equal to C, while the normalization of the Konishi current actually gets a perturbative modification, and also the anomalous dimension H of the Konishi current get a perturbative anomalous dimension, which is U square N. So a weak coupling, the anomalous dimension of this object is U square N. While a strong coupling, if we use this IDS connection, would actually be given by G square N to 1/4. However, what we can do, for instance, we can compute by conformal symmetry the three-point function between two stress tensors and sigma. And this, in this conformal field theory correspondence, would correspond to the three-point function of two gravitons with this n equal 4 string state. It would be a non-vanishing three-point function of those sides there. In fact, if one considers exchange of a given primary field plus all its tower, one can actually, in fact, compute also the four-point function. This is related to what Friedman said in the last part of his work, namely, if I exchange a single infinite-dimensional representation of the conformal group, actually one can give a closed expression of this object. And in fact, this closed expression can be given in terms of hypergeometric function. So let me summarize what I'm saying. We expect that chiral primary coupled to an infinite set of primary conformal supermultiplets, which are not chiral primary, but they are still primary. These are multiplets with anomalous dimension in interacting theory. They will have canonical dimension in the free field theory. And these multiplets are infinitely many spin. And this has to do with the fact that in a free field theory, the product of two singleton representations contain infinitely many massless representations. Well, the form of this representation in the massless limit was given recently in a work by Gunaydin, Minnick, and Zagerman. These are multiplets which have essentially this structure here. They have range of spin up to 4. And you see that if I put here JL equal JR equal 1, I have exactly this Konishi multiplet which go up to spin 4. Now, this multiplet, contrary to the Kaluza-Klein multiplet, repeat always the SU4 representation of the stress tensor multiplet. So they don't have increasing Dinkin label like the Kaluza-Klein state. But since they are containing the product of two singleton, they have only very few SU4 representation. In fact, they have only the same SU4 representation than the stress tensor multiplet. So what I want to discuss now in the last minutes of my talk is this results on conformal operator expansion on the boundary of anti-de Sitter space and its relation of this operator product expansion to the possibility of computing in a closed form the four-point function given to the exchange of a particular primary conformal field and its all descendant. Well, this is obtained by using this variable eta is the cone in 6 dimensions. So this eta is a field on the cone. So this eta is at eta squared equals 0. Now the important point is that if you want to glue two representations, A and B, I'm taking here scalar, with some tensor representation, and you extract a singular term which is given by this formula, there is actually a unique pseudo-differential operator which make this formula invariant. So this unique pseudo-differential operator means that it is essentially an operator which has a fractional power. So this operator is actually defined by a formal series which has infinitely many terms if the dimensions are anomalous or can have finite term for particular integral value of this dimension. But in general, it has infinitely many terms, and this corresponds to a closed summation of the primary conformal field and all the descendants. Well, this D here is essentially this differential operator, which depends on the point eta, eta prime, and D to the H, which is normal differential operator, but what appears here is this pseudo-differential operator, which is given by a formal power, and this formal power, in fact, is defined in a formal power series there. Then you can go to the usual Minkowski variable from this cone coordinate. You can transform this formula into x coordinate, where L is this difference. This is essentially the dilatation operator on the cone. And then at the end of the day, you get quite amusing formula for the operator product expansion, which is here. This is the operator product expansion of two scalar fields A and B into a scalar operator O and all its descendant. It is given by an integral representation, where it is integration in this variable U of this operator computed at the point Ux And then there is also this Bessel function, this hypergeometric function F01, which is related to a Bessel function, which give all the resummation of operator which are boxed to arbitrary power of this operator O. The F01 is defined here. So this, in principle, make the contribution of conformal operator, not only Kaluza-Klein, but also operator with anomalous dimension, and then string state, to a given amplitude, to a given four-point function.
Time for questions.
Oh, we are over. Okay. So this would be interesting. I just finished this is an interesting because if one extrapolate this four function in the bulk, it would perhaps make connection with the result on Banach and Green. In fact, this four point function extrapolated in the bulk may be connected to the R to the four term, for instance, which has been computed to some particular term in the R to the 4 term, which was computed by Banks and Green. So I think this is the end of my seminar.
So, questions for Sergio? Here.
Is it conceivable that the concentration of pi to this string on ADS 5 process 5 background may lead to infinitely many massive pi spin fields?
The question is whether the quantization of the 2B string on ADS5 cross S5 will lead to infinitely many massive, massless, higher spin fields.
Well, it looks inconceivable if one believes this result of Klebanov, Gupser, and Polyakov, that this higher spin field actually get anomalous dimension through this formula for the string masses. So the example I gave is exactly to show that this is not the case. So, for instance, of course you would have infinitely massless field if you are in the free field theory. But in interacting theory, the string states look to have anomalous dimension, and the anomalous dimension are precisely the dimension for which these higher spin fin are no longer transverse, and so they cannot be massless. So I believe that the analysis, for instance, that you made for the membrane would be equivalent here to consider free field theory, free field Maxwell theory. In that case, of course, all these higher spin would be conserved.
Yes, follow-up.
Follow-up, yes.
What is the significance of that free theory then? What are we to make of it?
What is the significance?
The significance?
Yes.
Of? Well, the free Maxwell theory, the situation where these dimensions are canonical, which correspond to this infinitely many field, it may be that it's some unbroken phase of string theory. It's a theory where all the string states somehow go to zero mass. And then you have a huge symmetry in this unbroken phase, and this may be recovered by some non-interacting conformal field theory. But in four dimensions, this interacting conformal field theory have anomalous dimension, and that seems to exclude the presence of massless higher spin field, which in fact do not exist in the string spectrum.
One more question? No. That's one more in the back.
Does the N equal 4, D equal 4 super Jensen's theory have primary operators that
does the n equals
so four? You're asking whether there are other operators which have quantized dimensions.
I'm asking if there are supercomponent primary operators that are not scalar under exponents.
Well, of course, the operator I was discussing are primary, but they are not chiral primary. I mean, they are primary in the sense that they form a representation of the SU algebra, but they are not chiral primary in the sense that they don't. They are not short multiplets which guarantee quantization of the dimension. In fact, these multiplets have anomalous dimension. I don't know whether there are other chiral primaries, namely there are other states other than the Kaluza-Klein which have quantized dimension. Certainly those objects would correspond to other states which are not in the Kaluza-Klein spectrum. But I don't know the answer.
Okay, that's all. Thanks, Sergio, again.